We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's new and it's exciting. It's like working without a net. It's our first official JJ and Joanne podcast. We're calling it Between the Records with JJ, Joanne, and Jason.
I like it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for downloading it, everybody. And I guess we're going to start this way. It was a bit we embellished on our show having to do with Wheel of Fortune and Pat Sajak's a really bad attitude toward one of the contestants. It went down like this.
It's weird because he had come out. Remember, like when they did the person that they couldn't get the puzzle
feathering
them on Twitter, and he came to their defense like, don't pick on the contestants, how dare you, blah blah blah, and then here he is.
You don't know how much pressure they're under, and I'm all for good natured fun, but be nice, that wasn't nice. And then here's a guy just telling a little story, and Pat like gets all up in his business.
Well, I can understand why he's upset, Jim. I mean, the story literally had no bearing on anything. It was just...
No, it was a dumb story about as a kid 30 years ago, he fell off his bike and lacerated his big toe, and a couple of EMS workers came to help him out, and he wanted to thank him 30 years later.
But he didn't say the EMS's name. He didn't say where he was from. I mean,
right. I know.
Okay, but literally, when you have to share something... about yourself.
I'm sorry.
You know they say, well, okay, look, I'm not saying that's what I would do. I mean, I was riding my bike when I was a little girl and I was moving the steering wheel back and forth. I knocked out my two front teeth when I was like four before they were supposed to come out, or five, or I don't even remember. But that's not the story I'm going to tell on Wheel of Fortune.
By the way, I think they're called handlebars. Unless you had the weirdest bike that kids ever owned
before
with a steering wheel.
I just wanted to drive.
You had an accident in your pink Barbie car. I could understand that. That would even be a better story. Anyway, nonetheless, Pat Sajak said that was the most pointless story ever told on Wheel of Fortune. And everybody was like, Pat, what are you doing? And you thought he was going to go on to say, well, I'm just joking. You know, I'm kidding around with you or whatever. No, he was dead serious. He just must have been in a terrible, bad mood that day. But
yeah,
it got us to thinking, you got to be prepared for this. And I know this guy was warned ahead of time. Look, you're going to have to get a little something ready. We need notes for a note card. And then Pat will ask you a question. You got to have a story, right?
Right.
So you got time to think about it. It's not like impromptu.
And not at all.
Don't you think, Joanne, that they are also not just going to say to the person, Pat's going to come to you for a story, right? Like they're going to probably have some sort of primer question like, you know, something crazy that happened in your child. I mean, there's got to be different scenarios that they give to the people for them to think about.
As a matter of fact, I think if we listen to that again, it was something like something happened to you as a child or something about your...
Okay.
I mean, he set it up. So Pat knew something was coming. But yeah, he just thought it was a stupid story. And it was just, I mean, people in this world of Twitter and DVRs and everything else immediately rewind, immediately record the TV, put it up on Twitter, call him names. I mean, it was crazy. But it did get us thinking, what would our story be? What would we do?
Yes, but by the way, that story with video is on our website at WOMC.com. If you want to take a look at it there.
And on another side note, to people that do that, thank you for giving us that audio. But man, I could not find a clean cut of that. It was all cell phone from a TV, you know, it's like the worst audio.
Yeah.
Well, how else are you going to get it though? How else are people going to put it up?
Right, but there's definitely ways that people can, like, you know, on a computer, you could go and pull the audio or pull the video and stick it on there instead of pulling your phone out and recording it. I don't know. I'm just bitching about it because we use the audio a lot, but there's just like, there was two videos that I found and both of them were cell phone from TV videos. And it's like, come on, people.
Yeah, I know.
So we were rehearsing for our upcoming appearance on Wheel of Fortune. I'm just
kidding about
that.
Which has just been canceled, by the way.
Well, Joanne, you had a great idea of doing a week of all radio people.
Oh, my gosh, yes. How fun would we have the three of us together?
I am surprised they haven't done that yet. But then that led to the discussion about having to have our own story to tell Pat. What's he going to ask you?
Right. So I thought for my story, I think that what I would talk about is that, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we watched every single day at 7 o'clock, like religion. We were Wheel of Fortune, then Jeopardy. It was like, you know, the whole family around the television.
Of course. Yeah.
And like growing up, I remember like learning my ABCs from watching the television, right? And I mean, I guess school didn't do it enough for me, but my mom would always tell me that, like, I would always repeat the letters as a little kid, you know, being 3 or 4 years old, repeating the letters as they were said on Wheel of Fortune. Well, so I kind of learned my ABCs.
So when you went to school,
I would kind of do anecdotal about that, or maybe talk about some of the crazy stuff I did on the radio, like rolling down a hill covered in bubble wrap, trying to see how far I could go.
No, I like
Stunt
that.
Boy.
Yes.
From your radio career. Exactly. There's a lot of those you could pick from. Yeah,
I went
Joanne?
On top of a car, went through a car wash on top of a car.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Jason.
I mean, I could talk for days about the stupid stuff that I did.
All right. So mine would be a little bit boring compared to yours, but I think I would say, hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. Yeah, I do. Well, they would already know we do a radio show. Hold
Please
on.
Please say
hold
that
on.
Again. I got to isolate that audio. Okay.
Which part?
Hi,
hey, Pat.
Yes.
Hi, Pat. Hi, how are you? Hey, listen, Pat, I just want to share. I am one of six girls. Yes, there are six of us in my family. And we're all J's.
Okay, Jennifer. So that would be like the pre-thing from the producer. So then Pat would set you up saying, you know, Joanne Purton here from Detroit, Michigan. Yeah. Joanne, I understand you're one of six children.
Yes, yes. Can you believe it? Six girls my parents had. Jennifer, and we're all J's, Pat. Jennifer, Jackie, Jill, Joanne, Jessica, Julie. And whenever we used to get in trouble, my mom would be like, jid, 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 jid. And I'd just sit there and just let her go through the list of, you know,
now,
of
that
girls
would be a funny story.
It would be. But then I think that I would also share that. So they kept trying, right? That's why there were six of us. They kept trying for a boy and they didn't get their boy. But then the grandkids came along and they ended up with six grandsons and two granddaughters. So they got all their girls up front, but then in the grandkids, they got the boys.
And all the people will be clapping. And
I know. Isn't it so cute?
And I will, as Pat Sajak, I want to follow up with, don't tell me, all of the grandkids' names start with a J, too?
No, but can I tell you something funny? That's a very good follow-up. No, but Julia, who was the first granddaughter, Julia, J, my dad was like, really, Jill? You're going to name your daughter Julia? You got to go with J? Come on now.
All right, so now let me be Pat, and I'll set you up, Jim. So, all right, Jim Johnson here from Detroit, Michigan. And, Jim, people are saying that you claim to be the greatest offensive threat in Wheel of Fortune history. What's that about?
Well, actually, Pat, I was able to, with my kids by my side, solve the final puzzle with no letters, not even the original letters. What are they? R-N-S-T-L-A or whatever?
R-N-S-T-L-N-E.
Okay. Yep. Those weren't even up yet, and I got it. The category was character, and I looked at it, and I told my kids, I said, that's Donald Duck.
Oh, my
And sure
gosh.
Enough, it was Donald Duck.
That's amazing. Good for you.
Now, I don't know if he would be akin to that, but because it's a radio thing, right? If we're all radio personalities.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to amend that story a little bit by saying, you know, over my career, I've been fortunate to have traveled many places. Radio has taken me really around the world for a lot of different reasons. One of them was a memorable trip to Moscow while it was still the Soviet Union. And the perspective I got from there was unbelievable. We broadcast our show from downtown Moscow at some old radio building. And let me tell you something. The equipment there was like out of the 30s. It was like the first generation of radio broadcast equipment. I'd never seen anything like it. And the dingy, dusty smell of old stuff was I'll never forget that smell as long as I live. And, you know, those particle board things with holes in them that they glued to the wall back in those old studios?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what this whole place was filled like, and we did interviews from there. We did like 3 days of shows worth from that studio.
What was it, like 1948, something like that, Jim?
No, I was there in like 1991.
1991, okay.
Nice try, though, Joanne.
I know, I thought so. I thought, well, you know, it was musty smelling and all that stuff, so I thought maybe.
Well, that was your dad's era.
So I think our stories would be good for the Wheel of Fortune, but I got to learn more about this your Russia story. So
I know, right?
Like, you've been
to
Russia.
What else happened there? I know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, honestly, I think this is worth a whole follow-up broadcast. I'll give you the premise for it, though.
Okay. Okay.
We went with listeners, and it was like a 10-day trip. First stop, Copenhagen, Denmark, to see the Rolling Stones play a soccer stadium there. That all went off without a hitch, and we spent a couple of days in Copenhagen.
Wow.
Different times,
it was
Jason.
Great.
Unbelievable.
And then the next day we're done, and we go to the airport, and our plane, there's our plane. Oh, it says Aeroflot. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're flying Aeroflot into Moscow from here? No Aeroflot. Way. Yes, that's the name of their airline. It's a legendary for crashing.
Oh, no.
So, is it?
Yes. And I got to tell you something. So we're sitting there. First things, we're on the plane, and they bring the snack cart out. The snack cart is like looks like a surgical tray on wheels, and in it or on it were these paper plates with like rolled up lunch meat and crackers.
Oh,
not even packaged. This was just laying there on the cart unpackaged. So I said, nah, thanks, I'm good, you know, maybe later. And then all of a sudden I look up next to me, and literally there's a hatch in the fuselage of the plane just over my head. And in it said escape rope. And I'm like, how long is this rope?
Right.
And then I guess
think
I realized.
The escape rope valve if you're in the air. It's like if you hit the water.
Finally, but at first I'm like, shake my head. And I'm like, okay, escape rope. It's just hilarious. And then
it
finally dawned on me. It finally dawned on me. It's if the plane crashes and you need to make your way out of the plane through the window or something,
right.
You can get out using the rope. It's not if you want to escape.
Not meant for 30,000 feet. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. So tell me about Dick the Bruiser. What did he do?
So we're wandering around. We had a lot of freedom. We land there. First of all, it was still the Soviet Union. As I said, we land. And I look out the window of the plane, and it's surrounded by military personnel with machine guns, literally surrounding the entire plane just to make sure no bad guys were coming into their country. That all went fine. We get into the airport itself, and it was worse than a third world country. The light bulbs, there was only one or two working light bulbs in this whole cavernous airport. The bathrooms, you couldn't even walk into them. They were so disgusting and so filthy, and the plumbing didn't work. That's how it was in the early 90s. In the Soviet Union, in Moscow, before they obviously disbanded the Soviet Union.
Right.
It was awful. The stores, you'd go in and there'd be a few animals dead hanging on strings in the meat market, and that was it. All of the glass cases that would normally hold meat or other food products, empty, dead empty. And yet people were still lined up for the scraps that were left over. In Red Square, there's a department store called Goom, G-U-U-M. But they sell nothing. There's nothing because there's no product in the country. Not anything. Nothing.
Back in 91.
Yes. And every day, though, you'd see a line. There was nobody there. And then finally, after a few days there, I noticed all of a sudden there's a line outside the department store. I'm like, wonder what got shipped in overnight.
Right.
And these people are all walking out of the store with stuff. So I finally approached a couple of them, found somebody who spoke a little broken English. And I said, you got to tell me what you bought because I thought the stores were empty. Nobody's been here. All of a sudden, there's a line today. And she goes, yeah, well, they got a box of these in today and everybody's buying one. And this is what they were shopping for, guys. It was a size of a softball. It was rubber and it was an orange porcupine. And what you used it for was sticking your pencils in between the porcupines. A rubber pencil holder. Orange rubber pencil holder.
No way.
That's what these people were lined up to buy. Because it's the only thing they could buy. There was nothing else there.
Wow.
What about food?
So wait, let me... Yeah.
Food was awful, hideously terrible. So bad, I couldn't eat it. I lived on candy bars and Coke. Warm, because there's no refrigeration there and there's no ice whatsoever. It was like being in prison. It really was, getting to see all of these things and absorb what was going on over there. The rest of it was torture.
Okay, so here's my question, though. Why did you take listeners there in 1991?
to see the Stones, but the Stones actually got canceled in Moscow about a week before the concert was supposed to happen, because the Russians all of a sudden came back to the table and said, well, we're going to pay you in rubles. The Rolling Stones says, we don't take rubles here. Sorry. No, that's not going to happen. And they never could find a compromise. So they canceled the Moscow show. But the trip had already been long booked. So we had to go there. We spent about 5 days in Moscow, or maybe six.
So the trip was to see the Stones twice then, once in Copenhagen and then once in Russia?
In Moscow. Yeah.
Wow.
That was the trip. So it was so bad. And it was exactly like a week after they opened the very first McDonald's in Moscow. And the line was wrapped for city blocks of people waiting to get their first taste of a McDonald's hamburger. And starving. But I couldn't devote a whole day to stand in line for a McDonald's hamburger. I didn't agree with that whole concept morally, let alone I get them here, any place I want.
Right. Right.
To go to Moscow and wait in line for a McDonald's cheeseburger. But now there came a time that I regretted that, because literally starving. So the general manager, and this was clever on our part, we booked the general manager of the Moscow McDonald's to be on our show to be interviewed.
Of course you did. Told him to bring Big Macs, right?
Yes, exactly. He brought me and my partner, George, each a Big Mac. And I went back to the hotel, and I was with my fiance at the time on this trip. And I was regaling her with the story about the show. And, oh, my God, a McDonald's guy came by and he brought us a Big Mac. She goes, where is it? Where's mine? I said, well, he only brought two. And she said, and you didn't cut yours in half? Oh,
now we know.
And by the way, that was almost, literally, I think there was a time where she considered booking a new flight and leaving Moscow that day. That's how hungry we both were in this place.
My goodness.
Darn it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy.
But it was, the whole thing was quite an experience. We did have some fun. We just ride in the subways, which is unbelievable there. They go down about a mile in the ground, and the whole city's dark and dingy and dirty. But all of a sudden, you get to the bottom of the subway station, and it's gorgeous. The magnificent mosaic tiles and artwork on the walls. It's beautiful. It smelled like a combination of vodka, cigarette smoke, and urine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it looked nice. Very pretty place. Yeah. So we wandered around, and we ended up just popping up out of the subway someplace, looked over, see a sign. Hey, that's Gorky Park. We've heard of Gorky Park. Let's go over and see what the hell Gorky Park's all about, right? So we go over there, and a band of local musicians was just climbing down a stage at the amphitheater in Gorky Park. And we went over to just to see what was going on. We talked to the people who were doing the staging for the thing. And we said, we're disc jockeys. We're from Detroit doing our show here for a few days, supposed to see the Stones, blah, blah, blah. The guy said, really? Come on up and say hello to the crowd. It'll be exciting. They'll have fun. So we get up on the stage, and I knew this. I'm just leaving this one to George, because he's going to go at him as Dick the Bruiser.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you Ruskies. Hello, Gorky Park.
True story. And they just kept going and going. And these people, they didn't speak English. They had no idea. Right. So they're all just sort of clapping and laughing. And
I was wondering what kind of a look were they giving him when he's like, hey.
Well, they were just, I think they were taken aback by his voice, first of all, coming out of this character. He's a skinny little runt guy, right? And here's this voice coming out of him.
Hey, you Ruskies.
Well, and yours too, Jim. Let's be honest. I mean, your voice is so deep and so, they had to be kind of enamored with that, too.
That was kind of fun. We ran into a guy, though, the savior of the whole thing for us. We ran into a guy who was there. He lived in Moscow, but he was from Atlanta, Georgia, worked for Coca-Cola, and was there getting product in the country. He was responsible for the Coke scene in all of Moscow.
He became your best friend, didn't he?
He did, because he showed us. And I don't even know if I should let this out of the bag, because they didn't want it revealed then, and I think it's still a secret. But they have a store, maybe more than one, called the American Store. Mm-hmm. It's not. There's no sign. There's no windows. No nothing. But the Americans who live there know that it's there. He took us there. And I'm telling you, it was like the Wizard of Oz when it went from black and white to color. It changed the entire world, because you walked in that door and a choir started singing hallelujah. All of a sudden on the shelves I'm seeing all these brightly colored boxes of Kellogg's breakfast cereal. That's candy awesome. Bars and
he was
Twinkies,
like a kid in Willy Wonka.
Actually it was Oompa Loompa that they were singing when you opened the door, not hallelujah.
That's so great.
Filled up a grocery bag, and that sort of sated us for the rest of the trip.
But
there.
Did it reconcile you and your fiance when you brought back a bag full of American?
She was with me at the time, okay, so good. Yeah. No, she was with me at the time. Yeah,
you saved her at the. You come running at the airport. Wait, I got food.
Yeah, I will say that watching what's unfolding there in Ukraine now, and with Russia. And looks like Putin, what he's trying to do is reconstitute the old Soviet Union, right? Go back to the days when I was there. But I can tell you from seeing how it was and how awful it was as a third world communist country. But the people on the streets embraced the West, like you read about. They couldn't get enough conversation with us. They wanted to buy the jeans off my ass. They wanted to buy my sneakers. I kid you not. And big money. So, but they were very interested. They could feel that the end was near because it really was close. I was there at the very last breath of the Soviet regime. And these people were kind of excited at the prospect of becoming more of a westernized culture, certainly a capitalistic society where they could finally buy things and have things and go to work and make money and blah, blah, blah. So I could see the hope in their eyes. Now, all of a sudden, what the guy is doing right now, and I think what they're going to find in Russia, because all these companies are pulling out, there are no more McDonald's. They've closed down. Mm-hmm. All of the other companies who have pulled out, there's going to be no money there. The ruble is worth a penny on a dollar right now is what the ruble is worth. So these people are going to find themselves back in the dark ages, just like it was when I was there, and I couldn't feel worse for them. And it's got to be a crushing blow. I don't know how much information they're getting, but they have to realize when they go out on the street in their daily lives and there's no shows because all the performers have canceled, there's no fast food restaurants because they're all pulling out of the place, and they can't go to an ATM machine with their MasterCard or Visa debit card because they have canceled their financial services there.
Yeah. And you can't buy an iPhone. Apple, I mean, name the company, and they've stopped doing business right now in Russia. Amazon's not delivering to Russia. I mean, so even if the misinformation campaign that Putin is doing, where he's just letting them all know what he wants them to know, they're going to have to catch on.
You know,
many of them already are, but others will. Exactly.
Yeah, it ain't like the old days. It ain't like 1991. And even though they tried to block all the social media, there's still word of mouth, and there's got to be people, athletes, performers, entertainers who are abroad right now doing their thing, phoning home saying, you guys, I don't know what they're telling you, but here's what's going on.
Yes.
And pretty soon word of mouth gets around. But it's got to be depressing as hell for those people. I saw the hope in their eyes, and now I can feel them closing and the darkness overwhelming them once again. It's a kind of sad day.
Just an amazing
story. Well, your
story
for Pat Sajak could not be that long, but we enjoyed the longer version of it. But
I told you, I would have teased Pat and said, hey, bring me back next week, Pat, for another show. I'll tell you the rest of the story. Your viewers are going to want to hear it.
It's just a crazy, I mean, besides everything that's going on, just the fact that from a radio perspective that you were taking listeners to Russia and Copenhagen and stuff like that. And Joanne, you mentioned it's like that's how it was back in the day. And, you know, taking you around the world. And, you know, for another episode of our podcast here, I think I've had an experience like that because I've gone to two Olympics because of radio. I went to the Olympics in 2004 in Greece. And, you know, so being over there in Greece and all that. So we'll get into all that in another episode. I think, Joanne, you being in TV for so long have probably been to a few crazy
places. Well, she lives in Nova. I know she's traveled to West Bloomfield. But
I'm not sure.
I've heard she's gone as far as Toledo. So
to Washington, D.C. Thank you very much. Our hearings on Congress.
Wow.
Well, I took viewers to Alaska one time, which was amazing. Oh,
I love to hear that story.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Trust me. I was the youngest by about 55 years. So
I have 51 years of these stories from radio. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Wow.
Goofy games at Disney World in Florida with Steve Eiserman. It was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. There's
a ton
life.
Of stuff.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. So Between the Records, our new podcast. And we've been podcasting, you guys, through the years, but this is like our official name.
Yes, we're on the Odyssey app now. We have our own button.
It's we had to perform sex acts to get a button on the Odyssey app. It's the only way they would do it. That's how hard it was to get a spot here, folks.
Wait, so Joanne, why was it just JJ and I that had to do it?
I'm way smarter than you two.
Apparently.
I got to do what? Nope.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening to JJ and Joanne Between the Records. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 on 104.3 WOMC and on the Odyssey app, the JJ and Joanne Show. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.